My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode on Saturday, February 26th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. There's some of my stand-up. There's some conversations with cool folks all back there behind the paywall. This is episode 557. I have no guest. It's just me sitting in my parents' basement. Not the basement I grew up in, but it is the house I grew up in. I did not grow up in a basement. I was treated pretty well as a child, but I just so happened to be recording this particular episode in the basement of my childhood home. And if you hear any buzzing or anything, I think that's just the sounds of a basement. And if you hear a buzzer go off, that's most likely laundry that my mother is doing, drying some clothes or something. So we are bunkered down in the basement, where we got a new router. My parents had this old I had the same router that my parents used to have from Fios. It was like this small, thin thing. Now this thing looks like it looks like an Alexa. And it's pretty intense. When the guy came and put it in, I was like, whoa, that is something. That is something. And the signals are strong. I hope everything's good, because they're going to charge the shit out of us by putting this thing in here. But yeah, the Wi-Fi is pretty strong here, bro. So I want to talk to you about some stuff and things, and then I'll let you get on with your life. My apologies for not doing an episode last week or being late with this one. I don't know. You could say I didn't do one last week. Technically, I guess I didn't. I had a lot of stuff going on. I've been really busy with family stuff. And it was my birthday. My birthday was on Monday. I turned 42. I'm in my Jackie Robinson / Ronnie Lott year of my life. And I'm happy to be here. Happy to be healthy and all of that good stuff. I had a pretty good birthday. I had a good birthday weekend. Horizon Forbidden West came out on the 18th. And I was super excited about that. I think that is the game now. I've told you there's been a couple games that I thought that were going to be amazing. I'm sure Returnal is a great game, but that came out like maybe almost a year ago. And I told you guys this story before. I bought that special edition and I played that shit for an hour. I think they did a patch where because that game just kicked my ass. I'll eventually go back to it, I hope, or hopefully one day. But that game beat my ass. And I was like, this is the game that's going to revolutionize the PlayStation 5, guys. But I think it's Horizon Forbidden West, because it is The original was amazing. It was, you know, before The Last of Us Part Two, I would say it's definitely up there as one of that has to be one of the best games. It's one of the best games I ever played in my life. It's easily up there. And it was my first time making a foray into an open world environment. I know everybody talks about The Witcher and everything like that, and it seems like it's fun, but this was my first foray into an open world game and doing all these side quests and stuff like that. And I ended up being really engrossed in it. So I pre-ordered it, and then I talked about this last week. I did the preload, like you preload it, so you download it, but you can't play it yet. And then at midnight on the release date, you can play. So I did that in preparation. And that Thursday night, I had taken the Friday off. I took the 18th off, and I just happened to be downstairs, like watching TV or something. And I think I fell asleep, and then I woke up at like after midnight. I think I woke up at like 12:15. And I was like, I need to play. I should just play. Let me just play for like an hour. And then ended up being like a couple hours, because the game is so engrossing that you're in this world and you just say, okay, I need a good stopping point. Like, it's fantastic. So I played a little bit after midnight when it got released, and I played a bunch on Friday and a little bit on Saturday. And I hadn't played in about a week or so. So I started playing some on Thursday. And it's so good. It's such a great game. And my cousin got it too. And he had just finished the original Horizon Zero Dawn. I think he got it for PC, I believe. And he was talking about how amazing it was. And it's just fantastic. But that's one of those games where I could see myself spending hours and hours. And I'm just at the point now with a game like that, when you have like all these skill trees and stuff, I want to build those up as much as possible. So when I have to fight these larger machines, like, I've probably talked about this before, but it's like, and I actually was explaining to my mother, I was like, well, actually, Mom, she's like, you fucking nerd. But she was watching me play it for a little bit, and she was like, oh, I like this. She said, that girl isn't, she said something like, that girl's no joke, talking about Aloy. It's like, she's bad. I was like, yeah, she's the real deal. But these machines, like, so with the original, the world is so bombed out and so corrupted by the environment being wasted to shit and everything, technology being destroyed, that the current time that we live in now, as I'm recording this podcast, is ancient to them. So it's like thousands of years in the future. And there's like, there's one sequence where in the sequel in Forbidden West, where she's in a cavern, and there's a car, and it's like ancient artifact, and you have to, there's car parts there. There's like a watch or something in there. So it's like, it's so far bombed out that all of the people, all the characters are kind of like, they've been reduced to like primitive and tribal ways of society. So it's just been bombed out so bad that they've kind of reverted to this tribal lifestyle. And, and I guess it's like supposed to be a meditation on tribalism and all that. And the main character, Aloy, is an outcast because nobody knew who her mother was. And she was raised by this guy, and who like taught her how to like survive and hunt. It's fantastic. But that's just basically an overview. And then you have to fight these robot machines that are like animals, like a robot crocodile, a robot T-Rex, and all this shit. So it's pretty insane, and you're fighting them with a bow and arrow. So make it make sense, but it, you know, and it does. You just have to play. You just have to turn it on and press play, bro, and you get locked in. So that's the game that I'm playing right now. It's amazing. I really dig it. So I've been playing that for a little bit. I haven't played it as much as I would have liked, but it's very fun. What else, guys? There was something else. So my birthday, what did I do? I had to take care of some business stuff, and then I took myself to Fuddruckers for my birthday. Had a nice burger, and that was great. Fuddruckers is the best. Shout out to the Fuddruckers in Parsippany, New Jersey. Amazing, amazing burger. Yeah, and so that was pretty much it for my birthday. It was just kind of chill. And then the next day I did my taxes, and for the first time I had to pay. I owed federal and state money. So I had to, that was not fun, where I was just like, oh God, I had to spend all this money. It wasn't that much. It was enough. But I didn't mind it too much because I did have a good year financially. But just because of all the stuff I was doing with the day job and the play, and so that was a blessing to have that. But yeah, it was just like not fun to have to pay. It was just like, oh God, really? But so it goes. So I paid my taxes. I got that taken care of. Don't have to worry about that. I paid for insurance in case I get audited. So if they try to audit me, H&R Block is supposed to help me out. They can't just run for the hills if I get audited. So that's a good thing. How about that Super Bowl, guys, from almost 3 weeks ago? From almost 3 weeks ago. All I'll say is, I know like everybody's talked about it, but it was entertaining. I had fun. I was kind of rooting for the Bengals, but at the same time, I was happy that the Rams won, because I was happy for Odell, because he played his ass off and got hurt, and Cooper Kupp pretty much saved the day. And that great defense led by Aaron Donald. I always want to call him Aaron Darnold, I guess maybe because I'm kind of thinking about Sam Darnold. You know, did anybody else do that? Is anybody else out there that does that? Don't leave me like this. So that was cool. So the last time I talked to you, I was in Virginia. I was in the Richmond, Virginia area, and I was going to Publix, and I made a pilgrimage to Publix, which is like my second time ever going into that store. I like that store. That's gotta be, as far as like, I guess you say regional, or all these grocery stores are regional, but I would say it has to be up there with, it's up there with Wegmans. Wegmans, I'm trying to think of these national chains or that are in a lot of states. What I'm finding out here in Maryland, in PG County, it's the Safeway is really good. We used to go to Safeway a lot when I was a kid, but I'm finding that like a lot of their products are pretty solid, pretty on point. They have a very underrated hot bar. Their rotisserie chicken is very good. I don't know about the original is okay, but if you get like the garlic or rosemary chicken, anything that's got the flavor is usually going to be pretty good. So with regards to Safeway, I would say not to stay away from the original, but you'd probably be better off getting like a lemon pepper or some like rosemary type deal going on. Yeah, that's what I would say. But Publix was really good. How come you guys never said anything about the chicken wings? Cause I got some chicken wings and from their deli, and oh my God, really good. Really good hot wings. Not too hot, but spicy enough. And I bought some snacks. I bought some guac, and I bought some other grocery stuff. But I really like the layout of that store. It's good quality. Not super expensive. Publix. I mean, I know Jameis Winston stole crab legs from there, or allegedly stole crab legs. I think somebody gave it to him. I don't think he stole crab legs. But that's what it was known for. And then there was, like, in 2019, around Christmas time, my parents and I were on the way back from North Carolina, and we stopped at one in like outside, somewhere outside of Richmond, south of Richmond, south of where I was a couple weeks ago. And we got some sandwiches, and those are really good. I know the homie Rod talks about those. So I was excited to do that. And I almost went to, I almost got a sandwich from Wegmans when I was in Richmond, but I went to that Carytown Burgers place, which was very good. So that was cool. Also, what else happened to me this week other than taxes? I went to pick up an order from Target. My life is a fucking movie, you guys. I ordered what did I order? I ordered a AC adapter for my phone. I just ordered a charger and a cord for my iPhone because I needed, like, I wanted like a longer cord. This is Cord Talk with Chris Lamberth on the Mundane Festival podcast. Tech Talk. So I ordered that, picked it up, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw on the, like, this sales rack, this sales display of candy, Valentine's Day candy for like 90% off. So they had these Reese's peanut butter cup hearts for like, I don't know, like they were like a dollar and change. So I bought two of them. God, sorry, I'm boring myself. No, I'm trying to fight the itis right now. I ate dinner and I'm just like fighting the itis. And I was like, oh my God. So I bought like some of I just bought some Reese's shit. Some of it I'm giving away, but I was like, I cannot not take advantage of this. Did I say that right? I can't not take advantage of Reese's candy being on sale. And some of their seasonal peanut butter cup, not peanut butter cups, but their seasonal candies, like they're the hearts, the bats, the pumpkins are great. I forget what I was raving over late last year. It might have been the pumpkins. It might have been the pumpkins that I was raving over. Those were really good. Somebody even said that randomly on Facebook that was not, I think it was another comic that was saying that it was the perfect ratio of peanut butter and chocolate, which is incredible. So every time I see those, I want to grab them. And I did grab some Easter eggs from Wegmans, the Reese's the eggs, not the solid egg that they put in a pack. Not the equivalent of what they do to the Reese's hearts, but the Reese's peanut butter cup eggs. And I was like, oh God, that's my favorite candy. That's the best candy ever made. And you know how I feel about those Reese's peanut butter cup bites. Those are fantastic. What else happened on this week? Shout out to the homie JL Covan, who was on Billions, who made his guest star appearance. I told him this, and I'll say it on this fucking podcast, bro. That's a character that fits so well in the world of that show that he could easily come back as a recurring character seasons to come, at least next season, you know. Like, he did a great job, and he was telling me, I'm sure he said it on his show, that they thought he was kind of doing his take on the Barstool Sports guy, David Portnoy. I don't know that much about Barstool Sports. I know some people say it's fucking toxic, and it might be, but I watched this dude. He has this YouTube channel where he goes all around the tri-state area, or all over the country in some aspects, but it's mainly the tri-state area, where he goes and eats pizza, and he always gets a cheese pie, and he calls it one bite, and he gives it a ranking on the pizza, and it could mean wonders for a pizza shop in the area. You know, it could do wonders. I actually went to I've been to a couple he's approved, but not just because of him. There was one place that I've talked about a lot on the show, Kinchley's Tavern in Oh my God, Ramsey, New Jersey, which is consistently like some of the best I've had since I've been in New Jersey. There's one place in Elizabeth, Santillo's, that's great. I don't know, because me and the homie Damian Lemon went there a few years ago, and I don't know if he found out about it through One Bite, or it just happened to be on a list of like the best pizzas in Jersey. So we went there. That was terrific. But there's this one place, and I don't want to say the name because this might have been May or June of last year, which is one of the first times I went out after being vaccinated that I was kind of nervous to be out. And I went out with some friends for a friend's birthday, and we went to this place because he wanted to go, and he lives in Riverdale. He lives in the Bronx, and I lived like 20 minutes away, and some of the other comedian friends that came, they were like, oh man, I had to come from fucking Brooklyn. Or one guy was like, I had to come from Long Island. I was like, Jesus. And I was like, just 20 minutes away. And they did not like the pizza. To me, the pizza was fine. It was passable. But those dudes were pissed because they came all that way. And the thing about it is that this pizza place, their heads had gotten big because of Portnoy's rating. And they were just kind of arrogant with their shit. And it was like, yo, this place it's fine. It's not that good for you guys to be having a higher than thou, your nose turned up type attitude with this place where people who want to spend money and who are spending a lot of money to be here. So I was just like, it ain't that good. It ain't Kinchley's. It's fine, but it ain't Kinchley's. So that's kind of how I felt about it. So, like, I mean, to each his own. You go wherever you want to go and listen to whoever you want to listen to. And if you decide to check it out, you know, make your own opinion. Like the great LeVar Burton said, don't take my word for it. So JL kind of was playing a guy who liked burgers. And if he really... You'd have to watch the show. I mean, I have not watched it in a while. Not because I don't like Billions. It's just because I just kind of lost touch of stuff. It's just one of those shows. And I think maybe I didn't have a Showtime subscription at the time, and I just lost touch. But it's a good show. And it's a super popular show, and JL did his thing. But his character was like an insider, like one of those talking head type dudes who has an insight on the stocks and things of that nature. And he eats a burger, and if he really likes the burger, he grades it and he says, oh, the texture, blah blah blah. And if he really likes it, he'll slam it down on the ground. And the characters, the series regulars on the show, were like, oh, this guy knows his stuff, and this guy, they, you know. So it could be somebody that basically I think that could be a recurring character, somebody that comes on every few episodes, you know. So I hope that happens for him. Speaking of people being on television, I was on television briefly, and I said it on Instagram, so I don't want you guys to think that I was blowing up my spot, that I was, you know, really out there. But I was on this new television show called, oh, Selena Gomez. Oh my God, what are you doing? Looking good like that. It just popped up on Instagram. I was minding my business, trying to tell y'all when I was being on, did something, and Selena Gomez pops up on my feed. Well, she pops up on my feed because I follow her. But anyway, yeah, there's a show called The Endgame that's new on NBC, starring Mirena Baccarin and Ryan Michelle Bath. It's a cool show, and it seems to be doing pretty well. The numbers seem to be pretty good. Ryan told me, my scene was with her. I play the property clerk at the jail that her character goes to, and I just said, have a great day or something, whatever. I don't remember what I said, but it was really quick, and I don't like to, I'll tell people when I'm on something, but I just say, check out my guest appearance on the pilot episode of NBC Endgame on NBC and Peacock TV. And I just said, don't blink, because if you blink, you'll miss me. Sorry, I hope I don't have the hiccups here. Take a swig of some H2O. So it was cool to be on TV on my birthday. So that was pretty neat. So that was fun, and it seems like the show's doing well, and it was nice. And I remember that day that I filmed it, and thankfully you didn't get to see my weird Devin Booker haircut, because the guy that cut my hair, like, it looks great on Devin Booker, but not me, because I was, at the time, I was 41, and the guy that cut my hair was the same age, and he seemed like one of those dudes. He was very nice. And I did get a compliment on my haircut, but I just didn't think it was me. It just wasn't my thing. And I think he was one of those dudes that was cool. Like, that he, I don't know if he was a cool guy. He was way cooler than me. And that was a cool guy haircut. And for me, it's just like a straight, just even me out, make me, shape me up, make me look good. But, you know, I think it was a bit much for me. So I don't think you got to see all that. But anyway, we were doing the scene, and I remember that day that Ryan was telling me, she said, oh yeah, maybe you get a chance to recur. They didn't call me back, but I think she was just being nice. It would be nice to come back if I had a little arc or something. I do remember, though, and I don't know if there are any other black male actors listening to this. They always try to cut your hair. Is it me, or do they always try to cut your facial hair? I had been, like, in costume. I was on set. I think I had filmed a couple scenes. We filmed the scene a few times. And this was directed by Justin Lin, you guys, who did a bunch of the Fast and Furious movies. So it's pretty, really cool to get to work with him. And he was a dude that wrote and directed Better Luck Tomorrow, which is an outstanding movie. That was almost like, what, 20 years ago or so? Let me not lie about that. Better Luck. Better Luck Tomorrow. 2002. So yeah, 20 years ago. Now on Hulu Premium. So it might be on another type of channel. But anyway, great movie that Justin Lin directed, and I think he wrote it too. I want to say he wrote it as well. Don't make a liar out of me. Don't make a liar. That sounds like a character or something. Don't make a liar out of me. Did he write this? I feel like he did, but maybe it could have been something else. Actually, okay, Ernesto Ferranda, Justin Lin, he did write some of it. Fabian Marquez. Great movie. Oh, yeah. So it was cool. And she was nice. I think she was just being nice to me, saying that, oh, maybe you'll get to recur. I was like, that would be great. But there's been times where I don't know if you could count. I was asked back on what's that show? High Maintenance. That was really super nice. I think it was like a week. It was like on a Friday night. I got a call from my manager, and he called me. He was like late, and he was like, hey, they want you to come back to High Maintenance. I was like, okay, sure, of course. That was super cool. And I was just on like a quick little scene. But I spent all day there. But I think they were working on some cool camera thing with the episode. And I guess they just didn't use it. But it was fucking cool to just be there all day and get to work. So I did not mind it one bit. It was very fun. Yeah, and then there was one show that kind of gave me blue balls with possibly having me come back. But that would have been cool. But either way, I appreciate those experiences. Is there some other stuff? So yeah, check me out if you haven't seen the pilot. I think it's right after the cold open, and it's when the main character, what is her character on here? Ryan's character, the Endgame. Talk about another TV show too. Endgame. Let me see. I'll take that Twitter off. Let's see. Her Agent Turner, Agent Val Turner. So she plays Agent Val Turner. And Yeah, that was cool. There was something else I wanted to say. Did I want to say anything else about that? I don't think I did. And then Friday, I went to this seafood carryout spot. And you know you're back in PG and you're at a good carryout spot when the food is made by Mexican people and Asian people, and there's a black guy selling DVDs and playing go-go really loud out of his SUV. You know the food's going to be good, and that's just what it is. The first time that I went, and this has been a place that's been around for years that my parents would go to all the time, and I know people say this a lot, you know, because I am from the Maryland, D.C. area, and I'm not a big seafood guy, and people think that's weird when you're from the Mid-Atlantic region and you're not a big seafood head. But like I would say when I was a kid, we would my parents' favorite place, my dad's favorite, I think my mom loved it too. She loves seafood. Their favorite place, this restaurant was called Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. And you know it if you're from this area. There were three of them that I knew of. There was one in Camp Springs, Allentown area in PG County. There was one in Charles County in Waldorf. And then there was one in Alexandria, I believe. And it was right by Toys R Us. It was right where my dad tracked down Bulls versus Blazers in the NBA playoffs for Sega Genesis after I had a good year in sixth grade. So that I remember that those three locations. I don't know how, but it may have just been those three. And my dad loved the steamed shrimp. My mom would eat shrimp. The hush puppies, they were great. I would just get the fried chicken because I'm black. But that's what I liked. But like I said, you know, this random fish spot in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina, in Eden, North Carolina. We were down there one of the last time. You know, the last time you're with people. And because of COVID, it was at a funeral. My dad, my mother, and my uncle, my mother's brother, we were at the hotel and we wanted to get something to eat. We went to this fish spot. Fucking amazing. And I'm not a fish, like I'm not a seafood guy. I did the surf and turf. I think I got like a piece of steak and like some shrimp, but I tasted their fish, like their whiting. Oh my God. And then my uncle and I fucked up the next day because we went to Ruby Tuesdays and we should have just went back to the fucking fish place. But so it goes. You live and you learn. But yeah, this was good. So the first time I went, this may have been 2 weeks ago. I went to pick up some fish and my mother said she wanted some porgies and she said she wanted like four of them and they were pretty big. And I think I might have gotten six. I don't remember. I have to ask her how many I bought. Anyway, that shit ended up being $80. And they gave me this big ass tray. And I was like, oh, shit, that's going to be a lot. And I know I was like, she's going to kick my ass. I paid for it. Like, she didn't pay for it. But like, she said, why did you get all this? And I said, you said you wanted porgies. And she said, I wanted spots, a smaller fish. So we ended up giving some to a neighbor. And I think she ate some. And I think she put some in the freezer. But anyway, that was good. Like it was really good fish. And I'm not like that kind of dude, but I guess I'll have to start. I want to start going there, especially if you fillet, because I bought a couple of whitings and I got some spots this time, and I got, because I'm black, I got some chicken wings, and we had, my mother made string beans, and that shit was fire. And yeah, and there was a dude selling shit. He was selling CDs. I thought I saw like maybe a possible drug exchange, but then I don't know. I can't 100% speak on that. I'm not sure. But that fish was good. And everybody's there super nice. Like you kind of get I don't know, maybe if it's from being in, I don't think people in New York are mean. Sometimes in a city you think people can be kind of standoffish. And sometimes I feel like that in in this area in PG County sometimes. But my interactions that I've had in the past like six to eight weeks, just being back home, the longest that I've been home for quite some time since I moved away. It's fucked up that it takes a parent's death that you come home. But I think when you're, if your career is somewhere else and you're like, you're, what you're doing, your work is taking you somewhere else. Yeah. I've said on this podcast hundreds of times, like, I've never been the type of person that was like, oh, I gotta get out of this fucking town. I don't know why I was trying to sound like the Dark Knight, like Christian Bale's Batman. I gotta get the fuck out of this town. Where's Falcone? I remember that was in the video. Where's Falcone? You could like threaten a bad guy. It was like a threat button. That was a lot of those superhero video games get a bad rap that are based on the movie. That, what was it? Batman Begins, I think, was the game for PlayStation 2 or 3 or something like that. Whatever was out in 2005, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, I don't know. Anyway, I think it was PlayStation 2. Yeah, anyway. But that fish was good. So I got to get into the seafood stuff. I gotta, you know, I like salmon. I've always liked salmon. I like tuna fish, but like tuna fish doesn't really, that doesn't really count, I don't think. But yeah, so that might have to be the spot a couple times a month, man. Today's Seafood on Branch Avenue, and then Friday it was lit. It was packed. So that's definitely a spot there. That's kind of been my week. See, there goes the laundry. Talked about my week, what I've been going through. Oh, I want to say, I got to tell you guys, next week, if you find yourself in the York, Pennsylvania area, I'm going to be moderating a live event with William Shatner. At the Pulo Center in York, Pennsylvania, Friday, March 4th at 7:30 p.m. So that's going to be next week. So it's going to be, they're going to do a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And then I'm going to be out there with Captain James T. Kirk himself. And I'm going to be interviewing him for maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And then there's going to be audience questions. So that's going to be really cool. Like I got an offer to do that a few days ago. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. Let's do it. That'll be fun. So if you're in that general area, go. Like, and they have mask mandates and stuff. If you, you know, feel safe. I don't know exactly what the, let me see if there's anything. I'm on this website. COVID-19 update. Let's see. Due to changes in the university mask mandates, the Pulo Center requires that masks are worn in the building for all upcoming events until further notice. Thank you for your understanding. Let's see if there's anything else. So basically what I was told by the booker, it's essentially going to be how it was with the Broadway rules in New York, where we wore our mask. I think I'm going to get tested there too. We wore masks the whole time while we were backstage and while we were in that building, and except for us going on stage, we had our mask on until we were about to go on stage. So that's what's going to be happening at the Pulo Center. I don't know how you say that. Pujo seems Spanish when you have those two L's together, but it might be the Pulo or the Pulo. So it's going to be me and William Shatner and 1,000 people. So that's going to be fun. So if you're around, definitely come out. You know, I think it'll be a good time. I'm excited. I'm doing my research, getting stuff together as time progresses. I've been doing some research and stuff, and hope to have some fun and interesting questions and have a great conversation with them. Basically, that's what I'm hoping for. So if you are, again, in that area, come on out. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about that. What else, guys? I want to talk a little bit about some music. I forgot to tell you guys that I did listen to the new Moonchild album, Starfruit, that came out Super Bowl weekend week. So that would have been, was that the first Friday in February? It was the 4th, I think. I don't know. It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it was a few weeks ago. And it was really good. When did I do? Oh, it was on the 11th. Yeah, I was right. Okay, I was thinking something kind of tripped me up because I was thinking about something. Yeah, so it was on the 11th. It's really good. Like, I've, you know, been a big fan of Moonchild ever since. I think maybe Questlove talked about them on Twitter or Instagram, and I started following them. And they're a trio that are California-based, but I believe that they met at Berklee School of Music, which is where a lot of my favorite artists of this side of the new millennium have either graduated from or spent some time there. Just really great. And these guys, they're probably in their late 20s. And so they were kind of raised on like a lot of Erykah Badu, some of that soul music, Amel LaRue, and all that good stuff that I used to play on when I was a DJ in college, when I had my own radio show. 89.9, what did I say? This is 89.9 WMTB, Emmitsburg, Maryland. High on top of the mount and low on your FM dial. It's the Chris Lambert Show, giving you the best in R&B and soul music. Ladies. So I used to do that. And if they were had music back then, or if I had a radio show now, I would be playing their shit. It's best, like, you know, I don't know where you would start. I would start from the beginning with them. How many projects do they have? I'm going to look on my iPhone here. I'm going to look on my iPhone here and just like search Moonchild and just see what happens when I search them. Let's see. Albums. See, now it's showing like singles and all this stuff that I don't really want to see. But anyway, proper albums, I think. See, this isn't in any type of order, and it makes me look like a freaking idiot. Starfruit is the latest. Voyager came. Okay, Starfruit is the latest. Okay, what I'm aware of. How about that? What I'm aware of, Please Rewind came out in 2015. Voyager came out in 2017. Little Ghost was 2019. And now Starfruit 2022. And they've got a couple EPs also. So good. So good. Mellow, smooth, in the pocket. They have like some female rappers. I sent this album to one of my friends, and just to let him know, because we were talking about it. Who was some Rhapsody's on here, and there's some other people. Tank and the Bangas, Camille, Alex Isley, Layla Hathaway's on the first record. It's really good, I would say. I'm a big fan. So I dug that. I was vibing out to that. On my way to Richmond, I was vibing out to it. Because I just hadn't, you know, like I think I was telling you guys in the last episode, or I might have been telling a friend or something, but like, I think it's just because my dad passed. It was just kind of like, I just wasn't into music and I just wasn't locking in. And I started listening to that, and then I just was trying to get my mind right for the shows. And so I had my hip hop playlist on, and I said, okay, I'm in the pocket now. So yeah, it's just the way that life has been for the past couple of years. It's just been podcast heavy. And I don't know if that's a thing that's been, you hear me talk about this every now and then. I love podcasts, and that's just a part of my entertainment, but I always try to make time for a lot of these artists that I like, and it's still people that I want to check out. But for now, this Moonchild's great, and Toro y Moi put out a new single from this forthcoming album, Mayhall. It's a record called The Loop, and right now, this would be his third one. I'm saying he's three for three, guys. I'm liking what he's doing. I think it's, he's one of my favorites. He's one of those people, you know, I got to put him up there with Annie Clark, AKA St. Vincent. I mean, you have to count Little Brother, Fonte, Nicolay, people that I check for as soon as they put something out, you know. Kendrick, Little Dragon. Little Dragon, yeah, this side of the new millennium. Like, yeah, it's kind of safe to say. Yeah, it's a nice collection of people that have come out in my adult life that I really enjoy. Like, anytime they put something out, I'm excited to hear. And this seems to be really, really dope. This album seems like it's going to be really good. I'm excited. It's funny because my car, sometimes it drops the Bluetooth connection, and I'll have to listen to music in my Tori Moi's last album, Outer Peace, is in my CD player. I have that CD, and it's just been in my car for like since I bought it, since it came out probably. And I just would have stuff on Bluetooth listening to it, and I was trying to get something to get it to sync up, and I said, fuck it, I'll play Toro. And the first record, like, it's just like, it's hard. It's like good. I think the record's called Fading off that. I think it's called Fading. Let me double check that. You know, I was going to say, I'm not going to check it, but then I was going to check it anyway, because I'm a weirdo like that. Outer Peace. Where is it? I was right. It was Fading. Yeah. So I was like, oh, you could. It's not that I forgot that it wasn't. That whole album's dope. But it was just like, oh, this is hard. This joint goes hard. That dude's a fucking beast. He's the best. Toro Imoi. Chaz Bear, formerly Chaz Bundick, is freaking awesome. Before we go, I want to talk about, I think that I mentioned this show on Apple TV Plus, The After Party. I want to say there may be, are they seven episodes in? I think there's seven episodes in. And this is, let me see. I just want to see what I got here. There's seven. I want to see how many episodes there are. It might just be eight. It might be the finale. Let me see. Wiki is saying seven. I think it's going to be eight. I think the next week's episode is going to be the last episode. So basically, this is about these people having a, are they having a 20th interview, 20th reunion? Let me see. When a high school reunion's after party ends in a stunning death, everyone is a suspect. A detective grills the former classmates one by one, uncovering potential motives as each tells their version of the story, culminating in the shocking truth. So this is on Apple TV Plus. It stars Zoe Chow, Dave Franco, Alana Glazer, Sam Richardson, Ben Schwartz, Ike Barinholtz, and Tiffany Haddish. And it's from the main character's perspective, and it's like, it's stylistically, it kind of, it's a little different with each episode. There's one that was totally animated. There's one that had musical numbers in it. I think this last episode with Tiffany Haddish was the best so far. It was so funny. Like, there, like, I rewound it a couple times, like some moments that that Tiffany Haddish did. It was just like, oh my God, it's my former scene partner killing it. But no, she was really good in it. I'm enjoying the show. It's really fun. I heard the homies on the Firestarter podcast. They were talking about like shows not being on Apple TV Plus. I gotta DM them and tell them to watch The After Party. I think they would enjoy it. It's pretty fun. It's a fun show. When you get to the Tiffany Haddish episode, I think it was just something about it where it was a couple of moments where it's like, cause it's like, I laugh if something's fun. It's not like I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, you really got to make me laugh. It's, I'm a hard, you know, it's hard. If something gets me, it gets me. My mother, I was watching Wonder Years, the Black Wonder Years, a few days ago, and my mom came downstairs and was watching. I think it was Thursday. I was watching it, and she started laughing at this scene. My parents would laugh at. I remember this one time I was home and we were watching like the Johnson Family Vacation. Fine movie. It's fine. It's a solid family movie, but they laughed at like the most like slapstick stuff. I used to get a kick out of them laughing at the corny shit. I don't know. Nice memories, nice family memories. But that made me feel good, like seeing my mom laugh like that at that show when she's not cursing me out. Anyway, guys, let's see. Was it something else? So I'm really enjoying this, and you can watch that along with that show, Suspension and Severance. I started Suspicion, and then Severance, which I need to start those two. I'm excited to see that, but I just needed a comedy. I just like a relatively pleasant show sometimes, because I do watch a lot of shows that can be super intense and like, I've got to find the killer and this guy murdered everybody and then he's on the, it can be too much. Speaking of that, I am excited to see this new Batman movie. I think that might get me back in the theater. And I think I'm going to, I have a ticket for a screening early enough that at the last time that I checked, it wasn't super packed. But it is early enough where there won't be too many people, or at least there won't be anybody sitting beside me. I hope. I don't know. But we'll see. Okay. Next, the last thing I want to talk about, Euphoria. Holy shit, man. Like we already said, Zendaya is, you know, give her all the awards and all that stuff. Sydney Sweeney is a great supporting character as well. Like, she's a great supporting character. She's been asked to do a lot this year on an emotional level, and I think she's a really good actress. It's like she's so hot that when it's like she takes her clothes off, it's just like, okay, can you just kind of cover up a little bit? I mean, you're hot, but just like, you don't have to take it off for every scene. And I listen to this podcast. I think it's, let me see what it's called. There's some podcasts they were talking about, like, all these characters making these female actors saying like, yo, like, he's asking all these girls to take their clothes off, and it's like, and if we say no, we disagree, he's just like, okay, so shouldn't your top be off? He's like, no, I don't think so. And he'd be like, okay. So I don't know if that's the rumor mill or anything, but I'm rambling a little bit much on this, but I would say the MVPs are this season, other than Zendaya, I would say definitely Sydney Sweeney playing Cassie. I'm really liking the work that Angus Cloud? What is his name? The kid playing Fezco. Euphoria. Let's see. You know what I clicked? I didn't ask for Europe map. I asked for Euphoria. Oh, I lied to you guys. I have one more thing to talk about. Angus Cloud. I was right. All right. And Maude Apatow is great. This is her play episode. It's like, I tweeted this, folks. They gave her like she had a Marvel movie budget for her high school play that I think they're only going to do one time. And I just thought that shit was so funny, like a rotating set. I remember my senior year, we did Bye Bye Birdie. There were like platforms. We just moved the platforms around, and I think there was a background that some people painted, but I mean, I fucking killed that shit, bro. But still, it was very lo-fi. But yeah, visually it was stunning how they just weave stuff in and out. It's really, I'm loving the show. My only thing is, I'm concerned. I do not want Fezco to die. It seems like they're going to get raided again. I hope not. I do not want Fezco to die. I really see something. I don't want Ashtray to die. I don't want Ashtray to get hurt. I don't want any of the main characters to get hurt. That's my main concern going into this finale. I think it's really good. I'm going to have to go back and just kind of, I'll eventually go back like I did with the first season, like just kind of just watch it. But it's a fun show, good acting. It's kind of is it fun? Yeah, it's fun to watch, but some scenes, some episodes are harder to watch than others, I would say. But I've been enjoying that. Also, what I've really been enjoying, oh my God, man. I don't know if anybody picked up on this, or I think some people are talking about it. Some of my Chicago comedian brethren, this movie Genius, man, this Kanye West Netflix documentary, holy shit, is it, this has to be one of, and I tweeted this, folks, this has to be one of the best documentaries I've ever seen in my life. One of the best documentaries since Hoop Dreams. And it was so good, it made me buy Hoop Dreams on Criterion Collection the other day. And I need to rewatch Hoop Dreams. It's one movie that I can watch like every few years or so, but I was like, I need the Criterion Edition. I don't know if you want to put it in a category, but just as American in this fucking country of ours, bro, we like to put things in boxes. But just with regards to chronicling a black life, it's fucking incredible. And this is Kudi and Chike. I think it's Chike, or I don't want to say the names wrong, but I mean, so the Google, the blurb here, Genius, a Kanye trilogy, is a 2022 American documentary film directed by Kudi and Chike about the life of artist, record producer, businessman, and fashion designer Kanye West. Look, I get how people feel about Kanye. He's very polarizing. I did not like the slavery is a choice thing. I'm not going to try to act like like, you know, when somebody is canceled or somebody does something that's questionable, it's like, oh, fuck him, man. He said he has no value in me. Fuck him. Nah, nah, nah. This motherfucker made some good music, and he came into the game authentically himself. The passion, like I kind of just like welled up a few times, and it wasn't just the parts with his mother. It was that young Kanye, 24, 25, hungry, trying to get put on, going into the Rockefeller Studios, playing, what is it? It All Falls Down, people not really giving a shit, going to these, you know, the second one is like, I don't really want to spoil. I mean, he becomes Kanye West. I mean, spoiler alert. But it's like, it was a scene where he was at a video shoot, and like Dame was like, or one of the Rockefeller execs was like, oh yeah, we need you to make some beats for Petey Crack. I was like, Petey Crack? I mean, the guy can, Petey can rap, but he's not, like, Kanye is a star, man. It's like, oh, make these beats for these other people. This group, there was one where there's this group that I never heard of them. I'm not trying to be cool or downplay the group, but they were sitting on platinum, and they were like, make this group for these kids. Make some beats for this kid group, Kanye. What an example of blowing your own horn, because nobody else is going to do it. You know, like, it was just, and I know there's one more episode, but like, I was just blown away. And Kanye kind of came, and I saw him when I was in Chicago. this had to be, I mean, I left in 07, so it was somewhere between, maybe between 03 and 05, at least. Maybe 03. College Dropout, I don't think, had come out yet. And I remember Kanye was wearing this Reese's Peanut Butter Cup shirt. How could I forget that? Full circle. Wearing this Reese's Peanut Butter Cup shirt. And he had a, I think he had the Rockefeller chain on, and he came on and did a song with Kweli. And I was like, okay, kind of, like, I was like, okay, this guy seems cool. Like, he's cool. Like, I was never like, but I was just like, oh, I just want to hear more Kweli. Quiet as kept. I know Kweli has been, he's an immensely talented MC, one of the best live performers of the art form. But he can't get off social media. He can't stay off social media. He's fighting with fighting with women on social media. It's like, dude, you're a fucking amazing rapper. You don't need to do this shit. Stay off the bird, bro. And I think he got banned, but he's always fighting with people on Instagram. It's like, dude, you have better shit to do. You have cooler friends. Yeah, you've got cool friends you can hang out with, except Joe Rogan. But anyway, I was like, it's just kind of like, because Kweli was a headliner, so it was just like, okay, this Kanye guy's cool. All right, I'm going to get your album when it comes out. I'm going to check for you. But he came at a time where I've talked about this a few times on the show, where I was just kind of disenchanted with the genre. I was just kind of disenchanted with hip hop. It was like 03, 04, it's the gangsta rap, guys talking about killing people, and it was just not for me. And that's when I started listening to Fiona Apple and Rachel Yamagata, and I guess those were, and Jenny Lewis during that time, Rilo Kiley. And I just, like, it's not that I just totally divorced myself from the genre, but it was just the mainstream stuff was just not where it was for me. And thankfully Little Brother came out in 03. The Listening was 03. I remember getting, at least I remember buying it in 03. I remember reading about them from OK Player and Questlove giving them his stamp of approval. And I just said to myself, oh, okay, I want to listen to these guys. I want to check for these guys. These guys seem cool. Remember getting that CD, and just, that was my first apartment. And that was like, I was kind of on my own, even though I had my parents' support, but that was my first place living alone and just like in the city, Chicago, riding the trains and going to rehearsals and going to parties and going to school. And having that Little Brother album was amazing, because it was like, these were guys. And I said this when Fonte was on the show, the first time he was on the show, it was just like, these were dudes that looked like me. They're big, husky dudes. They went to college. They were cool. One of the songs was like, yo, you're not trying to give me no play. I'm going to Cookout and I'm going to get me a fancy milkshake or whatever. And that's what it was. It's like, you know, like a record, like Whatever You Say. And then they had this record with Kanye called I See Now that was on a mixtape. And those were the dudes, because like Kanye had some college. But it was just like, okay, it's like you look at this film. And you know who Kanye becomes before he goes off his meds, or, you know, before he spirals out of control and everything like that. And it's like this, it was self-prophecy. But the one thing, and you can call that arrogant, you can say what you want about it, but it's a thing. I was talking to my aunt and my cousin yesterday. I was over their place and we were talking, and they were asking me about what I thought about the name change from the Washington football team to the Commanders. And she was, my cousin was saying, they could have gave Kaepernick a job. They should have did this a long time ago, blah, 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 talking about this. And I said, well, you know, that's the only thing that keeps me involved in the game, where it's just kind of like, I just root for the black quarterbacks. You guys know that. And we're saying like RG3, and it's like, and my cousin said something. My aunt was like, oh, well, he was just talking and he was da 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 da. He was this, he was that. I was like, yeah, but he was the quarterback. They ran him into the ground, ultimately. shot. Was it who? I see his face. You know who I'm talking about. Let me see. Shanahan ran him into the ground. He got hurt, and he was never the same. He did hold some clipboards for a bit, but like, he was a guy who was confident in himself, who believed in himself, and people were fucking mad that he had commercials, that he had a fucking sub. I'll never get over that. That he had a fucking Subway commercial, and people were mad at that. People were mad because he was in commercials doing. You're the leader of a football NFL franchise. Why would you not do that? And if it was anybody else, if it was fucking Matthew Stafford, who didn't have anything before this year, nobody would have said shit. So that, like, these young black men that are confident and believe in themselves or have some kind of wits about them, that you want to just kind of shut them down. And it's like, no. And you got to dim your light for that shit? No, it's not my thing. I don't agree with it. Man, he did it. Like, he did everything he said he was going to do. There's a moment, man, I don't want to. Okay, all I'll say in the second one, there's a moment where he meets up with Pharrell and he plays him a song. And it has, from what I know, what we know now, looking back on that, it's fucking amazing how they didn't want to give this guy a chance. They weren't just sitting on gold. They were sitting on platinum, and they didn't want to do it. He had to invest in himself. He paid $33,000 to do that through the wire video. It was just, it's amazing. Just that hunger. And he was a successful guy. Like, this, a lot of this stuff kind of takes place after the Blueprint comes out. So he did H to the Izzo and stuff like that. And he was making money. Like, he was wealthy. He had there was a scene in the second part of the doc where he had a G-Wagon. And then they said, then the dealer was like, yeah, next time I'm trying to get the Maybach. That's $300,000, however the fuck much it was. I'm rambling, but man, I don't know. Like, I'm like this old Kanye stuff, and I don't know. It was really compelling. I'm interested in seeing how it ends, because I think Cootie had lost touch with him after a while. And it's not surprising that these filmmakers, Simmons and Oza, Clarence Simmons and, wait a minute, Kanye produced this, Cootie and Cheeky, I don't know. But they had this, looking them up, and I was like, who are these guys? And they did a lot of videos. They did this documentary, this 30 for 30 on called Benji, which was about a high school basketball player that got tragically murdered. They did Erykah Badu's Window Seat. They did Lupe Fiasco, Old School Love. I'm not sure that they did the third version of Jesus Walks. They did Ghetto Rock for Mos Def. They did some, I think they, Creative Control was like something that they, I think that was a company they were behind. Channels, yeah, Creative Control. They did stuff for Joey Badass, Rick Ross, The Black Keys, Wale, obviously Kanye, Common, and Currency. Definitely Currency, and they did some stuff for Big Crit too. That was dope, and I was like, oh, that's why I like these guys, because they made a lot of videos that I really did like. But they're really talented, man. I'm just blown away. It's amazing. This documentary series is incredible. Anything, and I know I've been in a vulnerable place for the past few months, but my God, is this good? I teared up a couple of times, and it's not just the stuff with his mom. Some of that I fucking felt it. But it was like he had that parent, and I understand him, man, because it just happened to me, losing a parent, and the bond that he had with his mother. I could tell his mother fucking loved him and just believed in him. She's, oh, yeah, that song that you, my dad would do the same thing. So, oh, that joke that you, my dad was talking about that Django Unchained joke that I had back in 2013. So I remember that bitch you did this. And his mother was the same way. Oh, that song you ought to do. Remember that song you did when you were 12 or something like that? It's just fucking beautiful, man. And I don't, man, he didn't rape anybody. He wasn't Cosby. He says some things that are questionable. Like, I didn't like the slavery is a choice. I don't like him being off his meds. I want, you know, but I think people feel protective over him and they hate the way that his behavior has been. So they want to defend it, but I'm not going to defend his behavior, but I think this guy is a genius. He knew it. I'll just preface it by saying I was never the biggest Kanye fan, but I just respected it. I knew, like, I think my favorite, because I re-listened to his stuff a few months ago, like late last year, I remember. Just let me just review his catalog, and I don't know what exactly made me revisit it. I think I was just thinking about that record Chain Heavy that he put out with Quali Consequence, and I think it was just Quali Consequence, maybe Q-Tip. Q-Tip did the beat, and I just loved his lines on that. I think it's possible that that's my favorite Kanye song. If not, it's probably Late off of Late Registration. The one that's like, I'll be late for that. I'll be late for that. I'm coming in when I feel like, turn this motherfucker up on his, you know. I remember rocking that like a lot. I think I might have been, did I even have an, I had to have had an iPod back then, but I remember having that CD. I still got it. Listen to that CD, being in grad school and him talking shit about college, the interludes, I think it was D-Ray, like shitting on people with degrees. But it's so good, man. And just listening to him, like there's a scene where he's with a choir and they're, I guess, working on Through the Wire, I think. Yeah. And it's incredible, man. It's something about music that just moves me when somebody's really trying to do it. And just the hunger that he had, like, because a lot of it was about work. He was just like, yeah, I'm trying to go get some studio time. I'm trying to hang out with, you know, this guy. I'm trying to do this. And I'm trying to, like, he was about that work. And that, you can say what you want about Kanye, but you can't say that he wasn't working. I don't know, man. I mean, he's one of those people that it's a lot easier, like beyond, let me see, because beyond like, where did I kind of lose, necessarily lose interest? It might have been Life of Pablo for me. Let me see if I can get this in order here. That was just kind of the last. And it was never like, oh, fuck you, Kanye. But it was just kind of like, it's just maybe not for me. And a lot of people hated Yeezus. And I thought it was actually pretty good. I think I tweeted one time. I found it funny that he was talking about all like a fucking, he just mentioned BlackBerry. I had some kind of witty tweet about him talking about a BlackBerry. He mentioned having a BlackBerry like two or three times or something. And it was well past the time when cool people had BlackBerries. I think I may have still had one, but I was like, Kanye, why do you have one? I don't even remember why I was. But like, I think maybe after Yeezus was where I kind of fell off. But that's still a good 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's still 6 albums in. So that's like what? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 studio albums, and then the collaborative albums he's got, Watch the Throne, Cruel Summer, and Kids See Ghosts. I don't know. I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, I'm just on the wiki, but I was checking for him a lot until 2013, until Yeezus, and that's a pretty good track record. I don't know, like, I don't know. He's a genius, man. I would like to see him get help. The shit that he was doing with Pete Davidson and all that's fucking weird, and he should be on meds. But my God, I'll be damned if he's not a genius, man. It was just so compelling, and I don't remember being that There's a couple that are good. There's some that people try to throw in your face, and it was this movie. I'm like, I don't want to say. I'm trying to shit on nothing to big up something else, but my God, is this really good? It's really good. And it just seemed like a dude that fucking knew. He was like, I know I got this. I listen to like podcasts about, what is this? Dana Carvey and David Spade have this podcast called Fly on the Wall. And they have guests, you know, and they guests that have been on SNL that have hosted and whatnot, famous people. And they'll talk about like certain cast members who you just knew had it. Adam Sandler was one of them that they would talk about, where he just, like, some of these dudes, they knew they had it. And it just came, they just needed that push. And it was a song that, like, what's the name of this record that's on? I added it to my playlist. I don't want to give away any of these. I've already said too much. I highly recommend this, but I feel like I already said too much, but there's a moment with Kanye and Jay-Z in the studio that's like, wow. Wow. And then at the end, it's like the button on it is just like, wow. It was inspiring. It's man. I don't know, guys. I think you should watch it. I know there's going to be some people out there that's like, I fucking hate you, Kanye, but wow. I don't know. It makes me just, I don't know. You root, sometimes you just root for people. Hey, man, I don't know if I felt the same way about Shia LaBeouf, and Shia LaBeouf has done questionable things, or is alleged to have done questionable things with women. And Kanye, I mean, disappointing the black race is pretty bad, but I don't know. It makes me root. I root for him to get better, man. I'm rooting for him to get better. I mean, because I even said, like, this Donda record was like him being he's in his youth pastor phase. He's like in his, like, if he was Dewey Cox, he's in that part. Like in Walk Hard. I don't know, guys. Genius is fantastic. Kanye West is a genius. This is arguably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen in my life. Immensely compelling. Immensely compelling. Especially these first two. I don't know what's in store for... I maybe have an idea of what's in store for the third and final piece of it, but my mind is blown. My mind is blown by this. Yeah. So, that being said, guys, I've spoken to you for over an hour and 17 minutes. I want to thank you so much for listening. My apologies for being late and not doing one last year. Patreon, not last year, last week. Patreon folks, you'll have something you'll probably, before you even hear this, you'll have something in your feed for on Patreon. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.